Bless her. Yep. Yeah, bless you, sis. Yes, he is.
Because I can go with that. There you go, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And he will give me the strength and the peace to turn around and say to that man, I forgive you.
Yes.
And I love you. And Jesus loves you too.
Amen. What a blessing.
And to know that I can stand here and give God the glory and the praise.
Amen. Yeah.
And have peace in my hands.
Amen.
And lay it before him.
Amen.
And I thank you, Jesus, but please, I pray that you do not stop praying for this young lady.
Amen.
Because it's still haunting to this day.
Amen.
It's still painful to this day.
Sure. I'll know before the service tonight, sis. Amen.
Without prayer and without compassion,
yep.
She will hang on to the anger and the bitterness.
Yep.
For God will give you healing. The God will give you peace.
Yep.
To this day, I am so thankful.
Sure.
God has given me the healing and the peace.
Hallelujah. Amen. Right. What a blessing. She ain't crazy, she's happy.
Amen.
Brother, that's a victory right there. When you can walk away from something like that and look your offender in the face and say, I forgive you. That's almost akin to Christ on the cross, looking at that crowd and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want you to find two places in your Bible this morning, Matthew chapter number 6. When you find Matthew chapter number 6, just poke your finger in there and then go to Philippians chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 6, then Philippians chapter number 4. Keep your Bibles out this morning. And this may not be real preachy, I don't know, but it's what the Lord put on my heart.
Amen.
You know, after coming off a camp meeting, Brother Robbie made the statement Wednesday night. He said, I felt like Brother Eddie just threw me under the bus. We had Ken Bowman, and we had Roger Henson and Doug Fisher and Tony Shirley and Jonathan and Dean McNeese, and then I got to follow that. Amen. I know the feeling, brother. And this morning, coming off a camp meeting, I just love to preach glory. Amen. But sometimes we got to get down in the ditch a little bit and plow. Amen. You got to plant something before you can reap something. Amen. So I'm just going to obey the Lord. The Lord dealt with my heart about this week while I was in a Western store. You can get the Spirit of God in a Western store. Somebody help me right there. You just walk in and go and smell all that leather. I feel the Holy Ghost every time. Amen. But I want you to look at Philippians chapter number 4, and I'll share this thought with you, and we'll go eat some lunch. Amen. That's all some of you thinking about anyway. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 19. The Bible said, but my God, that's big right there. But my God shall, say the next word with me.
Supply.
Say the next word. All what? your need. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, if we read that another way and said, Brother Charles shall supply all your need according to his riches in the bank, that supply would have a limit. Would you agree? If Brother Stacy said, if the Bible said, Brother Stacy shall supply all your need according to his riches, now the supply would be a little bigger there, but it would still have a limit. Let's carry this thing even higher. If the Bible said Bill Gates shall supply all your need according to his riches, wherever they may be. Now you would think, I can't fathom that, but it still has a limit. I preached that message on the birds a while back. Y'all remember that? The birds are still singing. And I made that statement that I read from some scientist on the internet that said, if the richest man in the world owned every bird on planet Earth, he could only afford to feed them one day. Kind of, I want you to get a grasp of his supply. God has been feeding them every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year for over 6,000 years, and by his grace and by his mercy, they'll eat again in the morning. But my God shall supply all, I like that word all, your need according to his riches in glory. Now here's where the Lord hit me. I'm walking through that Western store, and we're in Texas, so it's big. Everything in Texas is big. Y'all didn't know that, did you? There was a Australian rancher visited Texas, and they were driving down the road, and they saw a big jackrabbit. And if you ain't never seen a jackrabbit, that ain't a bunny rabbit like in your yard. I mean, they're about that big. And that Australian saw a jackrabbit. He said, "Oh, mate, what is that?" He said, "That's a rabbit." He said, "We don't have rabbits like that." He said, "Everything's bigger in Texas." They saw a big longhorn steer standing out in the pasture. And the Australian said, "Oh, mate, that's the biggest cow I've ever saw." He said, "Yeah, everything's bigger in Texas." Later on, the Texan went to Australia to visit that rancher. They're walking across the ranch, and a kangaroo went by, and that Texan said, "My goodness, man, what was that?" He said, "It's a rat. They're terrible this time of year." Amen. Everything's supposed to be bigger in Texas, amen? I'm walking through this Western store about the size of Walmart. Now, that's my kind of place. And me and Levi and Brother Eric and Miss Stacy, we're walking through, and if I said this once, I know I said it 20, 30 times. I need that. I need that. I need that. I tried on about 10 pair of boots. I needed every one of them. Every boot I tried on. I told Levi, I do like Caroline. She looks, she worships her shoes. She's a woman. We bought her some boots yesterday. She's sitting in the back seat of my truck just looking. I put them boots on. I said, I need that. That's got ostrich skin on it. I don't have no ostrich skin. I need that. And I was saying, "I need," how often do you say, make use that little term, I need. I was thinking this morning, I was talking to Brother Ray, and God has blessed their family beyond measure, and Miss Cindy is the proud owner of a 69 Camaro, hallelujah, right? And I was thinking, when Brother Ray was talking about getting a new rear end, putting the Camaro, I thought, I need one of those. That would help me in the ministry. If somebody were in the hospital, I could get there much quicker. They would call me and say, "Brother Eddie, we're in the emergency room." They'd hang up the phone, turn around, there I am. They say, "How'd you get here?" 69 Z28, amen. 302 with a 4-speed, hallelujah. But I realize there is a difference between what I need and what I want. Let me say that again. I realize there is a difference in what I need and what I want. Now, I may get plumb sideways right here and jump up and down and have a Babylocostal fit, but I just want to say praise his dear name this morning. I've got A, double L that I need. I've got all I need. There's nothing I need this morning that I do not have. Hey, and on top of that, I got a whole lot of what I want. How about you this morning? Amen. You don't need no LED TV. Chances are you got one. You don't need air conditioning in your home. Not right now, anyhow. But chances are you got one. Some of you fanning like you wish we had it in the church. I'm right there with you, hallelujah. We don't need a water heater. Boy, some of y'all women looking cross-eyed at me. I heard one say, oh, yes, we do. Amen. There's a time when you had to boil it. Amen. And they got by. You don't need a front-load washing machine. Them things ain't normal. I bought my wife one. They don't go, choo, 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 choo. They're weird. Anyway, ain't got, you don't need that. But isn't God good to supply all your needs according to his riches in glory? And then go beyond that and give you some of what you want. You don't have everything you want. And guess what? You'll probably die not having everything you want. Let me say that again. You'll probably die not having everything you want. You're human. The Bible said to be content with what you have. And we work on that, but we never are. Amen. I was out there in Texas. Did I tell you everything's bigger in Texas? I was out there in Texas. They got a new Z71 Chevrolet. I said Chevrolet. Somebody ought to shout. Chevrolet. I didn't say Ford. I said Z71 Chevrolet. And it's a Texas edition. Guess what I said when I saw it? I need one of them. My horse trailer looked good behind that truck. Amen. But I just want to give him some praise and some glory that I've got all I need. You know, one of my wife and I's hardest decisions? Where to eat. I ain't lying. Where to eat. Not how are we going to make it tomorrow. Where are we going to eat? Where do you want to go? I don't care anywhere you want to go. Where do you want to go? I don't care anywhere you want to. We starving to death time we figure out where she wants to go. And that's the bottom line. She's got something in mind. I don't care, baby, whatever you want. I'm like, just spit it out. We'll go there. We'll go Chinese and eat kitty cats, whatever. Some of y'all already thinking this morning, where are we going to eat? Where are we going to go to lunch at? Could be the rescue mission. Are you listening? The chances are God has supplied all your need. My son, I'll never get to this message this morning, but man, God ought to get some glory for just supplying your need. He didn't have to, but he did. Amen. My son, we got a pantry in the kitchen. That's a closet where you put food. We got a pantry in the kitchen, and it's probably, I don't know, 10 feet long, 10, 12 feet long, about 3 or 4 foot deep, and it's got shelves from the floor all the way to the ceiling. I remember my son had flipped that light on. Actually, you can bear witness right here, and stand there in front of that. That's where he spent his time. In front of that pantry going, ain't nothing to eat in this house. And I'm talking about every shelf is full. I said, son, look here, there's pinto beans in there. I don't want no pinto beans. Son, there's tuna fish in there. I don't want no tuna fish. There's 14 different kinds of cereal. I don't want no cereal. And just stand there. There ain't nothing to eat in this house. Truth be known, you and I are spoiled, absolutely rotten. I made this statement a while back, and I'm going to make it again this morning. What if suddenly you lost everything you have? You think about it, like old Job. Suddenly you lost everything you have. I'm not just talking about material possessions. I'm talking about your children. What if all of a sudden your children were gone, your property was gone, your finances were gone, you even lost your dog? And suddenly you got it all back. How thankful would you be for it then? Let that sink in. If suddenly you lost everything you have, that would be utter devastation, wouldn't it? I remember when Brother Carlos, there he is. I remember when Brother Carlos' house burnt down in the middle of the night. And I stood with him in the middle of the road down here on Van Wert. Stood down here in the middle of Van Wert Road. And he had a little blanket. Didn't even have no clothes. And we had a blanket draped across his back. And we stood there and watched everything he had go up in smoke. That's devastating. Absolutely devastating. But you know what? I'd say pretty much you got it all back. What if you lost everything you had and all of a sudden you got it back? That car you gripe about? That house you wish you had a better one? That washer and dryer, that dryer that you have to kick to make it run? Somebody ain't getting this morning. You ought to pull up in your driveway. I don't care if you live in an apartment or a single wide trailer park. You ought to pull up where you live this afternoon and say, thanks be to God, I've got everything I need. I've got food in my belly. I got clothes on my back. I got a pillar on my bed. Woo! Thank you, Lord. And then back up and look at all the junk you got. I got a two-car garage. You can't put a go-kart in. Trip over junk. Most of the times I just think about wanting something and God gives it to me. Isn't that a blessing? Maybe I'll preach this morning. I don't know. I just want to have a fit. Go to Matthew chapter number 6. We'll try to get through this right quick. I know what time it is and really don't give a flip. I'm like the preacher was last Monday night. He said, y'all looking at me like, can he preach? I'm looking at you like, can you take it? Amen. I picked up several good things. God did some stuff for me last week. Here's what I learned. I learned gas is way too high to be driving to a dead church. Amen. There was something to that. Amen. I tell you what, it's the first time Brother Ken's preached here. It won't be the last. Amen. Matthew, did I tell you to go to Matthew? Chapter number 6. I want you to look with me at verse number 32. We're going to read the rest of the chapter. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth, I like this. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Now, if you'll back up and read, it's talking about what you're going to eat, what some of y'all thinking about right now. I wish he'd hush, my stomach's growling. Ain't none of y'all in danger of starvation. Ain't nobody went the last 3 days without eating unless you've done it on purpose. Ain't nobody in this room. That's what they're talking about. He said, take no thought for what you eat, what you drink, what you put on, talking about your clothes. And in verse 32, he said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Isn't that something? God knows what I need before I ask him for it. When you're setting up at Burger King this afternoon or China buffet or the Mexican restaurant, wherever it is you go after church, maybe it's grandma's and eat pinto beans and cornbread. Chinese can't touch it. Amen. I'm talking about pintos with some fat back in it. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad you ain't a Jew? Amen. Wherever it is, the next bite of food you put in your mouth, I want you to understand in your heart where it come from. You'll have that bite of beans because God knew you needed a bite of beans. Amen. You'll have something to wear to work in the morning because God saw to it you had something to wear to work in the morning. I wonder, does anybody have a wife like I got a wife? She's got a walk-in closet. And it's lined down each side. You couldn't put a cockroach in there. Got a shoe organizer hanging on the door. I'm talking about top to bottom, and it's loaded. Get time to go somewhere. Everything in that closet is piled up on the bed where she's tried it on. I say, honey, are you ready? I ain't got nothing to wear. Can I get a witness right there? Some of you cowards, if you had a backbone, you'd help me right there. We got stuff to put on because God knew we needed something to put on. God's been so good to Robbie and Tabitha, they match. Amen. You see them at Walmart, they match. I wonder who plans that, him or her. Ain't God been good? Let me ask you again, ain't God been good? I got up this morning, put on a $175 pair of shoes. You say, you got money? No, somebody bought them for me. How about that? Y'all all right? I wouldn't buy myself $100. You know, in order to be ashamed, that's what I preach in. Pay $250 for a pair of boots. I ain't paying $175 for a pair of shoes. Hey, I'm just saying, I got what I need this morning. I needed a headache gone. Let's finish reading our scripture. I got 5, 6, 7 points. Is anybody excited besides me? We may finish them tonight, amen. We read verse 32. God knows what you need before you ever even ask. You know what? I can't help it. Sometimes we think God is punishing us. Sometimes we ask God for something and he says, okay, but not now. Okay, but not now. Brother Rusty, on your and Stacy's behalf, I wish you knew how many times I prayed for you. Every time we had to chip in and help out, get you through what you've been going through. You don't know how many times I've said, God, why? Why? And the whole time God says, it's coming. It's coming. I'd go to God for Brother Shane and say, God, I don't understand it. Why? God said, it's coming. The answer's on its way. But they're not ready for the answer. They're not ready for the blessing. They're not ready for the need to be met. They've got to learn something first. Y'all all right? Thank God I got all my needs. I got all my needs. I could live down here in the crack, have a roof over my head, food in my belly, the love of my wife, and the fellowship of my church and say, I got all I need. Amen. Certainly wouldn't be my desire in life. And I ain't saying there's nothing wrong with living in the crack. If you're from the crack. Y'all all right this morning? We got to finish reading the scripture. I'm trying, honest, I am. I'm chasing rabbits, but boy, they're good. He said in verse 33, but seek ye first. I need something to eat, Lord. Wait a minute, there's something else to look for. God, I need this bill paid. I know, but you ain't looking. You're looking for means. You're looking for monetary. But seek ye when? First. Now, here's where we are. Most of you know the rest of that verse, the kingdom of God, right? Seek ye first, he's saying, seek ye first the things of God. Seek me first. Normally, we want to brag on God after he gives us what we need. Am I right about it? We want to stand up and sing, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me, after he gives us what we need, and then most of what we want. We want to brag on God and talk about God and praise God after. But in this case, God is saying the praise and the seeking of Him comes before the things. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now watch this. And, now you say the next word with me. All these things, all these things, all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Well, you got to go up there in verse number 30 and 31. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to put on. Let's put it in our vernacular. What we're going to drive, where we're going to live. We think we're poor if the new car smell has wore off. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to put on. Here's a woman's dilemma. Which store in the mall do I need to go in first? He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Boy, if we could get a hold of that. If we could just put God before everything else. Hey, I'm talking about some needs you and I have. By the way, the greatest need you have is not a new Texas edition Z71. Or the greatest need you have is not a 69 Z28 Camaro. The greatest need you have is not a 10-point book hanging on your wall. Honey, the greatest need you have is the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. That's your big one right there. And if you get that one, everything else will fall right up under. What a lesson we learn. Watch what he said in verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought. I have a hard time with that. I laid in the bed last night. Thinking about everything I need. I've been traveling a lot. Thank God I'm home till the first week of December. Hallelujah. I've got a honey-do list that reaches from here to that back door. And I've got a me-do list that'll reach. I got lots to do. I lay in the bed thinking about what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do. You know, I ain't even promised Monday. I ain't guaranteed Monday. But I got right now. And the greatest need in my life is not working on my pasture fence. The greatest need in my life is not fixing my gutter that's doing the swag and has been for about 2 months. My greatest need is seeking God this morning. Your greatest need is seeking God this morning. Some of y'all ain't getting a hold of this. You know why? Because you got what you need. You're not seeking God because you got clothes on your back. You're not seeking God because you got a pillow to put your head on. Amen. Hey, we ought to be seeking God even when we've got everything that we need and most of what we want. We have, as humans, we have our material or temporal needs. We have our, hey, listen, men, we're so lazy. If God didn't give us hunger, we wouldn't eat. Am I right about it? Amen. You need food. Right? Amen. I'm talking about the basic needs. You need water. Amen. Your body can only live so long without them. Amen. You can go longer without food than you can without water. Amen. That's a physical need and a material need. And they're necessary. But in our lives, they're priority. Our physical and our material needs in our lives are priority. We put that above. We've got things backwards. If we had put our God first, in our relationship with our God first, He said, all these things, what things? Those things you need. He said, those Gentiles seek after. Gentiles, that's me and you. They seek after what they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, and what they're going to put on. Those are three basic necessities of life, and they are needs. If they weren't, He wouldn't have said, seek me first and all those things. You'll have every one of them. Amen. You'll have what you need to eat. You'll have what you need to drink. You'll have what you need to put on. We have material needs. How many of you, I mean, be honest. It ain't everything you want, but your needs are met. Hallelujah. That's about everybody in here. My needs are met. Now, wait a minute. Don't say my needs aren't met because my gas got turned off. Well, it got quiet on me again. I mean, you get down to brass tacks, that's a luxury. Talk to some of these grown-ups, these older folks. Did y'all have gas heat when you was a little boy, Brother Atkins?
No.
They wasn't none, was they? Was they electricity? Just barely, he said.
Yeah.
Was they an outhouse or was it inside? It was an outhouse.
Yeah.
You see, Sears and Roebuck catalog means a totally different thing, Brother Atkins. That's back before Charmin and them grizzly bears. Amen. Can I get a witness? What you need to understand is how to differentiate between need and want, or need and luxury. And if you think real good about it this morning, real hard about it, God's been good to you. I got up last night and went to the bathroom. Didn't even need a flashlight or a pair of shoes. If we'll think real hard, God's met all our needs in spite of us putting them before Him. God's been real good to you. We have material and temporal needs. Go to Luke chapter number 9. I'll give you this one and I'll close. It's really, I want to get to another one, but maybe tonight. We have a material or temporal needs. In that Matthew chapter number 6, there's a powerful lesson in verse 25. There's a provisional thought, and then there is a parental care. Your Father knoweth what you have need of. Whoo, isn't that good? You know, children are pretty secure. They freak out if their Xbox don't work. Hayden brings his to the house and wants me to play with him. I can't. There's too many buttons on that stupid thing. I liked Pong. Anybody remember that? Come on. Come on, some of you 40-something. Blip, blip, blip. That's my speed, amen. We have a material or temporal need, but I want you to notice Luke chapter number 9. Are you there? Look with me at verse number 11. The Bible said, "And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God." Now watch this. "And healed them that had" what? "Need of healing." Wow. "And healed them that had need of healing." There's a lot of preaching about healing today, but a lot of it is misconstrued and twisted that others may benefit. Am I right about it? I would say that. And somebody's going to get mad at me here, but I would say what we know in America as faith healing has little to do with healing and more about monetary gain. Why is it your healing is always based on your faith? I want to look back at the preacher and say, "What about your power, Jack? Y'all all right?" It doesn't take an educated man to watch much of that stuff and figure out that it's a show and a fraud, belongs in a circus somewhere. Somebody on the car going down the road right now is turning their dial. Help yourself. You shouldn't say things on the radio. I don't give a rip. Amen. What about healing, though? The greatest healing you need is the healing from sin.
Amen.
I would rather go to heaven, Brother Shane. I'd like to take you down to one of them meetings. Let's do that. Let's plan that. Brother Shane's a one-legged man. You ought to have seen him at Halloween. He made him a wooden leg and dressed up like a pirate. I thought that's cool as grits, man. We ought to take him down there and I hate to say names, but I really don't. We ought to take him down there to Benny.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about Hannah. Hen. I'm talking about Benny Hen.
Yeah.
Lead him down the aisle and say, "Brother Benny, can you make him a leg?" I mean, I'm serious. Why come that never happens? Am I in here by myself? I tell you what, you want to follow that crowd? Call them when grandma dies. I ain't a betting man because gambling's a sin, but it ain't gambling if it's a sure thing. But I'd bet the mortgage on this building, $600,000, that Benny can't put a leg where there ain't a leg. I ain't talking about one made out of metal and synthetic. I'm talking about one with toes that wiggle, that's got veins that blood runs through. I'm talking about a real leg. Benny can't do that. Jesus can. Remember that withered hand? Remember them lepers? Them 10 lepers that came? Y'all remember them? I got a bunch of places I could turn. I'm trying to find a place to unhook this morning. You remember them lepers? There's 10 of them. And he told them to go show themselves to the priest. And one of them made an about face. He's walking down the road. I can just hear him. And the leprosy's cleansed. And I can just see him looking at that leprosy that's been cleansed and saying, good Lord Almighty, what am I doing? Why am I going to the priest? I'm going back to the one who just touched me. I'm going back there and give that man some glory. The Bible said he come back and glorified him with a loud voice. I hear it something like this. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Bless your holy name. Now, all 10 of them got cleansed. That just meant the leprosy's gone. I don't know how much you know about leprosy, but when you have leprosy, stuff falls off. Your nose will rot off your face. Your ears will rot off the side of your head. Your fingers will fall off your hand. When that guy came back, Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. He's already cleansed. That old boy come back and praise God and got something that other nine didn't. I imagine he run into them in town. And they looked at him and said, man, you got your nose back. Wow, that's a nose job right there. If I ever saw one. Man, you got your ears back too, man, and your finger that fell off, it's there. Man, how did you do that? He said, y'all went and seen the priest. But I went back and glorified the preacher. Amen. I'm talking about healing. People look at us a little sideways around here, especially if I break out a bottle of oil. I just believe the Bible. What's your problem? I believe in healing. But I don't think physical healing takes precedence over spiritual healing. Why come nobody ever comes forward in them healing campaigns and saying, I need to be saved? Why come they don't preach salvation? They preach healing, 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 because it appeals to the flesh. And you'll spend a whole bunch of money on your flesh. I wonder if we tried this. If you put $1,000 in an offer plate, you can miss hell this morning. That'll never happen. You know why? You're more interested in your flesh than you are your spirit. You're more interested with right now than you are with forever. Because you think you got forever. But I do believe in healing. Sister Ashley must have went to the nursery or she'd go back there to watch TV, I imagine, eat animal crackers. I don't know. And we use her all the time. But she had cancer from head to toe. The doctors had given up on her and just kept her jacked up 24-7 on morphine. Is that right, Brother Dave? She had a hard time getting over the morphine than she did the cancer. Now, I don't say that to embarrass her. But you know what we did? James chapter 5, I was going to turn there, but I won't. Said if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anointing his head with oil and praying the prayer of faith. Is that right, Brother Charles? I believe that's scriptural. Some of y'all got quiet right there. We went to her house and anointed her with oil. We put a calendar down here, and for 21 days, this church rotated and fasted every single day. We believe in healing. But I would have rather, if she had been lost, I would have prayed harder for her salvation than her physical healing. What good is it? What good is it to have the cancer healed and die and go to hell anyway? I'd rather go to heaven with the cancer. I know that sounds harsh, but that family knows what I'm talking about. If we'd have had to roll that baby girl down here in a box and stand behind this pulpit and try to comfort Brother David and that little baby boy not knowing where Mama was, we couldn't have got through it, Brother David. We couldn't have made it like that. But if God had chosen to take her, we'd have made it because we know. We believe in healing, don't we, Brother Anthony? Yeah, wave your hanky at me or something. We know. I'm talking about a coma. I'm talking about life support. Not for a day or two, months. Fell 30 feet off a roof on his head. Right here. It's a good thing he didn't fall on his foot. It'd have probably killed him. We did the same thing. We prayed. We fasted. We anointed his head with oil. I anointed your head with oil when you probably didn't even know I was there. We believe in healing. But that physical healing, and there is a need of it. Have you ever prayed for a baby who was burning up with a fever? You believe God can cool a fevered brow? I know he can. I'm talking about needs. We have a material or a temporal need. We have our physical need. I'm talking about our health. What about asking for healing? Hey, it's in the Bible. What about anointing for healing? It's in the Bible. Now, is there power in that oil? No, it comes from Publix. It's extra virgin olive oil, friend. They got special oil at the Christian bookstore. But it ain't got no more power than that. They've got special water at the Catholic Church. But it ain't got no power in what I just spit on Brother James down here this morning. Y'all listening? That oil is just a symbol of what does the healing. That oil is a symbol of the Spirit of the living God. I don't have power to heal, but he does. And it's okay to ask for it. But let's make sure we follow that first example. Let's seek him first. Let's seek him and having a relationship with him. And then let's worry about the cancer. Then let's worry about the diabetes. Then let's worry about the high blood pressure. Then let's worry about the cholesterol. Then let's worry about the arthritis and all these other things. But let's seek God first. Let's get our priorities right. There's a material need. There's a physical need. I'm going to close. Brother Todd, y'all come in. Get a song. I'll try to. Will you come back tonight? Amen. Thank you. One of the worst things I hate is to be watching one of my favorite shows on TV. You say, watching TV is a sin. Well, don't watch it. I got one. I got one in Mac Daddy's. Amen. My eyes are going back. One of the things I hate the worst is to get right down to where you're fixing to see who done it. And it says, to be continued. I guarantee you where I'm going to be the next Tuesday night at 8:45 or whenever it comes. Amen. I hope you'll come back tonight. I'm talking about our needs. We have needs. We're needy people. Because we're mortal. We've all got needs. But we've got a need meter. You understand what I'm saying? We've got one who can meet that need. You on your way to hell this morning? Greatest need in your life. You can get that need met right here. Oh, God wouldn't save me. Oh, you don't know him like I know him. There's some in here this morning been saved way worse than you have thought about being. Can he meet a need? Can he meet a spiritual need, Brother Stoney? Brother Jason, can he do it? He can do it. Can he meet a spiritual need, Brother Russ? He can do it. Ain't nobody in here too far away that his arm can't reach you. Material needs and physical needs. Come back tonight. I'm kind of giving you some of tonight right now because I feel like it's important. We have a spiritual need. We are depraved spiritually. We are spiritually bankrupt. Without Jesus Christ, they just ain't no way. Had a man down here at the store. I was telling somebody yesterday or today, I don't know. Had a man down here at the store. Everybody thinks that these people that run these convenience stores are Muslims. They ain't. They're Hindu. And they're pretty open. If you quit being so prejudiced. I come in from church every Sunday night and stop and get my wife a Diet Coke. Ritual. Every time I come in, oh, you look nice tonight, preacher. I went in there one day, he said, tell me about Jesus. I said, really? He said, yeah, I'm studying all religions. He said, I want to know the best one. I said, oh, he is. I said, matter of fact, he's the only one. And isn't it amazing? The whole time I was talking to him, he didn't have a single customer. And he wasn't trying to pick a fight with me. He's curious. I said, look, buddy, all those other religions, I said, that's what they are. I said, but Jesus is not a religion. He's a relationship. And you can know him. He said, I'll give that some thought. You can know him this morning. Greatest need in your life. Let's stand to our feet. I'm trying my best to hush. Let's bow our heads all over the house. Nobody looking around. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning. You'd lift up your hand. I wouldn't embarrass you. I wouldn't come to you for nothing. But you'd lift up your hand and say, preacher, I need Jesus this morning. I need to know him as my Savior. I'm not sure if I died right now, heaven would be my home. Please remember me when you pray. You just slip up your hand, put it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Anybody? How about this? Preacher, pray for me that I'd be more grateful and thankful for the needs that God has met, is meeting, and will meet in my life. I'm spoiled rotten. Preacher, pray that we just be more thankful. Hands all over this building. Let me ask you another question. Preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But there's a physical need in my life. Everybody may not know about it, but there's something wrong. I need God to touch my body, to heal something in my life. How about that? I cannot believe how many hands are up. Bless your heart. We're going to pray together this morning that God would address that thing. I'm not going to come and bop you on the head, because I can't do it. But I'm going to ask my Father this morning, because he can do it. Let's pray together, can we? Fathers, we come to you this morning. Thank you so much for being the great need meter in my life. But just not mine, God, all these that have gathered here this morning, not just here, but all over the world this morning, God. How you do it ceases to amaze me. But God, you just keep doing it day in and day out. Father, you've seen every hand this morning. You know every heart. Lord, there's one that's lost on their way to a devil's hell. They just couldn't bring themselves to lift up their hand. Father, I pray you'd keep dealing with their heart. I pray they'd be saved right here today. Lord, they're an hour behind us in Texas. So Levi will be giving an altar call just here in a little bit. Lord, I pray that little 14-year-old girl, I pray this would be the day that, God, you deliver her from that stuff that's tormenting her mind. Lord, and let her feel the love of God. Somebody that'll never hurt her. Somebody that'll never abuse her. God, I pray she knows that today. Well, Lord, you've seen the hands of all these people who have a physical need in their life. Help them, God, to seek you first. Then, Lord, we plead with you this morning that you meet that need. Touch that body that's hurting. Touch that situation. God, I don't know what it is, but you do. And Father, I pray you'd have your way this morning. Lord, I know there's a lot more you want me to say. But, Lord, I just feel like this is where you'd have me stop for now. Lord, I pray you'd give us power, wisdom to preach the rest of it tonight. God, just have your way in this altar call. Father, we'll thank you and we'll praise you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.